Good day, and welcome to this week's edition of Not Necessarily the Automobile on 101.5 UMFM. I'm your host, Adam Johnston, for Thursday, October 31st, 2024, Halloween Day. In this week's episode, The Battle for the Bike Lanes, we'll talk about bike lanes and its relationships to automobiles, from cars parking in them to times where the cars are actually driving in them, the frustration, the anger, and what could be done to reduce the problem of automobiles parking or driving in bike lanes that they should not be. Plus, we'll take a look at the news and events. That's all upcoming this week on Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. And thank you again for joining us this week on Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. Hope everyone's week is doing well and that tonight you are handing out candies if you are at home or whatever. And hopefully you can sneak some candies in as well, as it's Halloween today, and, you know, with Halloween, we are all kids at heart, right? So happy Halloween to everyone out there on this trick-or-treat day. But you know what's more of a trick than a treat here in the city of Winnipeg? Bike lanes, when they are blocked in Winnipeg, our wonderful city. Yes, that is right. Automobiles blocking bike lanes here in the city of Winnipeg. It's when you think of it kind of like a sport, to be honest, and watch the scoreboard. You know, when those days cars don't park in them versus cars that do. And as we wind down fall and headed into winter, it's time to think about this all-important issue, as eventually the snow will melt and it'll be spring again in about 5 to 6 months. It's really the battle for the bike lanes. Now, here in Winnipeg, it's been a mixed blessing in recent years. Thanks to more people cycling, or at least trying it, as well as the advocacy work of groups like Bike Winnipeg, over my lifetime, there seems to be more bike lanes in the last 25 or so years, and definitely a lot more than when I was a kid in the 80s. There are key bike lanes in most parts of the city of Winnipeg. The north, like for example, the Northeast Pioneers Greenway Active Transportation Trail, as well as McDermott, where there's some protected lanes and painted bike lanes there. The south, the Southwest Transitway, east, Transcona Trail, which is another active transportation trail. The west, Yellow Ribbon Trail, another active transportation trail, as well as St. Matthews, which is a mix of, depending where you are, it's a mix of protected, painted, and sheros, as well as central. You know, McDermott, Balmoral, all that lovely area. Now, according to the City of Winnipeg website, quote, with over 400 kilometers of bicycle lanes, neighborhood greenways, and multi-use paths, there are plenty of options for your next cycling trip. And basically talks about that this has been updated in the cycling map to make, you know, routes easier and navigating the city of Winnipeg even easier to navigate, unquote. Now, consider the slow pace that the city moves on an issue like cycling is honestly quite incredible. Maybe in the future it might double or triple. That's to discuss for another day. Wouldn't it be nice to have, you know, 1,000 kilometers of bicycle lanes, paths, neighborhood greenways, 1,200, 1,500, you know, 2,000 before my lifetime ends on this planet. Anyway, now to quickly review, here are the types of cycling infrastructure you would normally see here in our wonderful city of Winnipeg. There are four types, usually, and these include multi-use paths. Now, according to the City of Winnipeg cycling map, they are, quote, shared pedestrian and cyclist routes that are physically separated from motor vehicles. These paths can be paved or unpaved surfaces and may be subject to seasonal flooding on low-lying routes. You know, depending where you are, this is certainly true. Remember, cyclists yield to pedestrians on multi-use paths, unquote. Now, how can we not forget about that? It's kind of chaotic, right? Now, frequently we see these often on abandoned rail lines, like the Northeast Pioneers Greenway, Hart Trail, etc., in terms of where you see multi-use paths. Most have markings that give some direction on where to go, some don't, you know, like Bunts Creek, Hart Trail. Now, the next type is the protected bike lane. Now, the City of Winnipeg map acknowledges, quote, protected bicycle lanes are located within the road right away, but are physically separated from motor vehicle travel lanes by concrete, curbs, planters, vehicle parking, etc. Now, examples of this type of infrastructure are lanes like the Sherbrooke and Balmoral in the West End, as well as the Assiniboine Avenue, I believe. So, those are some examples right there. Next, we get to the buffered bike lane. Now, the City of Winnipeg map notes that, quote, buffered bike lanes provide more separation from vehicles than painted bike lanes, typically through buffers and polyposts, unquote. Now, examples of this include St. Matthews, you know, kind of depends where you are, where the parked cars are on the exterior of the lane. And last is the painted bike lane, where, quote, cycling routes on the roadway designated by painted bike lanes and road markings. There are a few in the city. I believe one is definitely St. Matthews, or at least a portion of one is that. Now, others I won't get into are the neighborhood greenways and the annoying Sharro. You can look that up yourself, but... and that's another conversation I probably will have another day, specifically around speed, but we'll get to that another time, perhaps. Now, that is great that we have all this cycle infrastructure, but it's also created some weird enough problems. With protected, buffered, and bike lanes, automobiles, for some weird reason, who, for no logical reason, like I said, 99% of the time, decide, hey, these lanes look clearer. There's no one there. So I will just park my car here for the heck of it. Or, hey, I'm near a house and I want to drop off this Amazon package. So I will just park this lovely Amazon truck for 5 minutes. Or, hey, I need to move some furniture, so I will just park here for 3 hours. Or, hey, I'm a construction worker with a truck. Perhaps maybe I'll just park here while our crew is doing construction near us. But perhaps the best one that I get really frustrated is with, well, I'm just going to drop off some people at the club, so I'm just going to park in the bike lane near Palomino Club around McDermott Avenue. Now, sure, this might create some challenges, you know, including those where there are near apartments. However, given this day and age of technology, the internet, mapping, and the opportunity to plan well in advance of your driving trip, there really is no excuse for this. Right, you think? Wrong. It seems like this is a frequent occurrence during prime cycling season, specifically in the summertime. Now, from my own experiences, I have found the worst places this usually happens include the Balmoral, Protected Bike Lane, McDermott, and yes, even around the Granite Curling Club. This is not only frustrating for cyclists who, like I say, have to jockey for position every time just to get a smidge of space of safe places to cycle. It creates so many safety hazards. It really does. When this happens, cyclists sometimes go in and out of the bike lane, just like a giant slalom race at the Winter Olympics, which creates increased vulnerability. Now, not only are cars parking in a bike lane, but yes, even driving in the bike lane. Surprisingly, this does happen occasionally here in the City of Winnipeg. Now, while cycling back from my volunteer shift a few weeks ago at Harvest Manitoba, someone for less than 30 seconds was cycling in the bike lane. Don't know why, don't know what they were on, but I guess it's Winnipeggers doing Winnipeg things. This really shouldn't be surprising to me or anyone that bicycles in the city here. So what does the city say about, parking in a bike lane, driving a bike lane? Well, according to the City of Winnipeg website, quote, cars and trucks are not permitted to drive or park in the bike lane, unquote. Now, regardless, this nutty stuff that happens all the time with, drivers parking their vehicles in the bike lanes all across the city, there's really no punishment that ever happens, really. And to be honest, if they were to get punished, nothing would be significant. It's really a drop in a bucket, to be honest. 'Cause the Winnipeg police, they don't really consider this a big offense, as motorists do take advantage of vulnerable road users with their privilege. Now, a ticket for parking in a bike lane is, get ready for this, $70. Yep, most times drivers do not get caught, like I said. And when they do, the fine is so low, like $70, it's just a pure joke. The driver will just like, eh, I'll just pay the $70. Here, go, the end. Go about their merry way, right? Now, the Winnipeg Free Press had an editorial earlier summer about concerns about motorists parking in bike lanes, and this is what they had to say. Quote, even the fine amount, $70, does not seem that high. A larger fine might help hammer the point home that it's not okay to park a vehicle in a bike lane. Not only does it obstruct the path of cyclists, it is unsafe because it often forces cyclists off bike lanes and onto roadways. City officials say they rely primarily on public reporting to respond to blocked bike lanes. The problem with that is enforcement officers often arrive too late after a call is placed, and the offending motorist may no longer be there. This city should be doing more patrolling as a proactive way of discouraging this type of practice, unquote. You see, maybe that's it. A combination of increasing our fines for parking in bike lanes. Oh, perhaps maybe 200, 300, 400. Why not charge $500? Change the way we police in our city by having more police on bicycles or walk as beat cops in the neighborhood to better understand their local community that they're in and reduce a lot of the tension that often we hear about now with police and different types of people in the city of Winnipeg. Like I said, that the police can know their community better during this process, and perhaps slash some of the Winnipeg police budget that they spend too much on toys, like fancy cars. Now this would put the city closer to being a more livable and exciting place to be, not where motorists dominate everywhere, including parking their 2,000 to 3,000 pound metal box in one sub of lanes dedicated to cyclists. You see, that's part of the problem and goes to how our transportation system is designed in our city, where we have a system that favors the automobile, which I could kind of say to an extent, but favors building out road lanes that benefits big SUVs. We have a transportation system that really, at the end of the day, doesn't benefit people, and we are seeing this with our bike lanes where cars are just parking in them for the heck of it because they think they have a right. Well, they don't have a right. And like I said earlier, the fines are too low. $70 is way too low for a fine. The fines need to increase, like I said, and we need to just have better policing. Like I said, having beat cops walk around neighborhoods would do a lot better job. Fighting cars and bike lanes would certainly help, as well as having more cops on bikes instead of cars. Get them to know the neighborhood better. At the end of the day, the battle for the bike lane will continue for quite a few years to come unless we change how we police and how we fine drivers who act like Beavis and Butthead with no maturity and park in these lanes that cyclists have fought years to get and fight for whatever space they can to be safe on our city streets. And we'll be back after a few moments of a musical break here on Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. And we're going to talk a little bit about some news briefs. And yeah, we'll be back shortly. So stay tuned. Welcome back here to Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm your host, Adam Johnston, for this Thursday, October 31st, 2024. Happy Halloween to all listeners out there in the city of Winnipeg. Glad that you've taken the time to, you know, listen to the show here on 101.5 UMFM, home of community radio. Very important that you have joined us again this week. We do our best to provide interesting topics on a weekly basis as much as we can here on the show. And again, I'm very thankful for you to take the time and experience what we have to offer here with the show here on UMFM. And after this, please stay tuned for Democracy Now! Featuring A.B. Goodman. Again, come every Thursday morning for news and engaging discussion about public and active transportation in Winnipeg, and then stay after for news about democracy featuring one of my favorite hosts here on UMFM, Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! At 12 noon. So stay tuned for that. Always good show there to listen to when you got time around noon every weekday, so definitely worth a listen to. Let's get into some news, shall we, this week. And it's been, well, I got some positive news this week. And yeah, this is pretty positive news for once. Usually every time we get to the news section, I'm reporting something really bad, but this is actually really good news, and it's regarding accelerating electric buses here in Winnipeg. It looks like New Flyer is all in on electric buses here, and they've always had in the past, but it looks like they're really going all in this time. Now, according to CBC News here, New Flyer is set to expand electric bus production here in the city of Winnipeg, creating approximately 250 jobs, and this expansion, approximately between 70 to 80 million, will be supported by an additional 38 million in federal and provincial funding. So again, that's very good news here, and obviously here in the city of Winnipeg, that is good when we can create jobs and opportunities, and New Flyer has always been strong building those good buses that you see all across North America, so I'm happy to see this happen. The more that we can get electric buses built, one day we can maybe actually have an electric bus fleet here in the city, the better that happens, you know. I mean, you know, I know diesel buses aren't great, but at least there's something until we can get a full electric fleet when I'll actually work here in the city. And just to highlight here, so what some key people had to say about this, we'll go with what our Premier Wob Kanew had to say here, CBC News here. Quote, this is about putting a Made in Canada stamp on the buses that bring people to work in Winnipeg, in Toronto, in Canadian cities that we love so much. Kanew said at the news conference last Friday. And yeah, I think this is a good thing for the city. And in this day and age where, you know, jobs Everyone's talking about jobs. This is a great example of jobs that support a clean economy moving forward and accelerates a good transportation system. So hopefully we'll see this down the road where we have more electric buses. So I'm happy with that. And yeah, be interesting to see what happens, given that Winnipeg really needs to improve its fleet. I think it's getting there in terms of what we're seeing with the new plans to increase availability of buses next year, but it has to modernize the fleet, and I think this is one step in the right direction that maybe we will see more electric buses, not only across Canada, but especially in Winnipeg. So this is great. This is good news. That happened last Friday, and yeah. Now, in other news, also Winnipeg Transit related, but not the greatest story, but it is important nonetheless. So basically, we all know about the circumstances that happen on Winnipeg Transit with concerns about crime and safety issues. So yesterday, Winnipeg Crime Stoppers is looking to put the boots to crime and enhance safety on Winnipeg Transit buses with a campaign to snuff out crime and safety concerns on Winnipeg Transit buses. Now, according to CBC News, the campaign is called It's Your Business, or Business, I'd say, and that transit riders will be, hopefully they'll report criminal incidences to Crime Stoppers here in Winnipeg, and that's basically, like I said before, the concern about crime and safety has accelerated to the point where Winnipeg Transit's teaming up with Crime Stoppers here. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Personally, I know there is lots of challenges with Winnipeg Transit, but I think you got to go after the root causes of the issues with Winnipeg Transit, and that is that it's the fares, they're too high. They're way too high. For adults, they're $3.25, they're going to be $3.45 in 2026. That's part of the problem, I think, is it's the concerns about safety, and that's tied to, I think, a lot of it is the bus fares are too high, people can't afford them. Let's bring them down to $2, eventually do $1 for adults. Let's make children under 18 free. Let's start with that. Let's get rid of the gas tax holiday. Let's invest in public transit that way. But again, it'll be interesting to see what happens to this campaign. There still is problems with safety on Winnipeg Transit. This, we need to address this, but like I said, we definitely do need to, at the end of the day, attack the underlying problems, and that's poverty and access to public transit for the poorest of the poor here in Winnipeg. That does include Indigenous people here in the city who are more likely to take Winnipeg Transit, women who are more likely to take transit, immigrants who are likely to take transit, or newcomers. So I'm hoping that while this campaign is a success, I hope that we really start to see things move forward to handling the root causes of why we have these constant problems on Winnipeg Transit. And that means lowering bus fares. But moving on to the story, here's what some people have to say on this, and Winnipeg Crime Stoppers Chair Robert McKenzie said that, quote, it seemed that the timing was right for it, and that it was a good opportunity to enhance transit safety and promote transit safety with everything that's been going on recently, unquote. And he's not wrong on that. There are problems with Winnipeg Transit. Again, I do think that there's many problems, and we do need to fix the safety concern, but a lot of it is poverty, and we got to deal with the poverty issues first. I think if we deal with the underlying problems with transit, I think a lot of these problems could be solved. Not overnight, but slowly but surely. So hopefully we can get our city council and our province to work hand-in-hand to solve the bus problem in terms of the cost of accessing a bus. I think that would solve all these problems. And so we would need campaigns like Winnipeg Crime Stoppers. Although, let's see what happens. And yeah, for Winnipeg Crime Stoppers as a kid, you know, watching those second to a minute vignettes all the time on either Shaw 11, Video on 11, even late night on CKY. I thought they were cheesy as heck. You can still catch them on YouTube. They were cheesy, but they were effective. All the fake punching and those Crime Stoppers, they just made me laugh later on in life. Although I was creeped out of them as a kid, but yeah. We'll see what happens this campaign. I'll be interested to see where it goes. With this, I am glad that they are doing this. At the end of the day, we do really need to tackle the underlying issues of poverty to address crime rather than to, you know, get Crime Stoppers who made those lovely cheesy 30-second PSAs on crime in Winnipeg to do something. So, but that's just my take. Maybe this will work. I don't know. But anyway, that is another episode down in the books here of Not Necessarily the Auto Wheeler on 101.5 UMFM. Again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston. You can always listen to our archive at www.umfm.com. You can also email us if you have any questions, concerns, show ideas. Would love to hear you about those. And that is Not Necessarily the Automobile at gmail.com. And please check us out on X at NNTAONUMFM. And soon we'll be on Blue Sky, hopefully. I will give you that when we get to that. But for now, again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston. It's been a pleasure this Halloween episode. Thank you very much for listening. Take care. Have a great day. And please stay tuned for Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! Next on 101.5 UMFM.